On this episode, I discuss how I avoid injury and optimize my workouts with five specific warm-up principles. Also, things to avoid to stay out of the doctor and in the gym. Stay tuned for more. Welcome to the Almost Athlete podcast, where I discuss insights to fitness, wellness, and lifestyle that I have gained over the years. Through my experiences, I have encountered countless numbers of people who have injuries, aches, pains, limitations, and health challenges. I believe the vast majority of these could be solved, minimized, or altogether avoided with some basic insight into anatomy and physiology principles, as well as an understanding of wellness, including nutrition and daily habits. My goal is to bridge the gap from the lack of digestible, easy-to-understand information to actionable insights for a more functional, happy life. This episode is brought to you by Partners Crackers. At Partners, our family makes everything from scratch using fresh, high-quality ingredients. Our gourmet cookies, crackers, and granola are wholesome and baked to a crispy crunch without preservatives or hydrogenated oils. This is real food, naturally. Family-owned, simply delicious. Partners Crackers. Today I wanted to talk about how I avoid injury and optimize my workouts with five specific warm-up principles. So I'm going to jump right into it. I believe that improper warm-up or lack of warm-up is probably one of the biggest reasons why we see injuries happening at the gym and sometimes outside of the gym too. And I would say for this specific example, I'm talking about the gym, but the warm-up principles that I'm going to discuss are absolutely applicable to any life task as well, especially for people that do very physical jobs for work. And this could include things like construction work, working down on the docks where you're lifting heavy things, tightening down heavy cables. There's lots of different jobs that require physical demands on the body that oftentimes we take for granted and we don't prep our body properly for. And I think that that is a big reason why we end up seeing injuries. And so I would say the number one thing we can do to avoid injuries in the gym or at work is to warm up properly. So I'm going to describe the approach that I have taken, and this has really made a major difference in my life as far as the frequency of injuries, as well as I would say really the confidence in my body and what I know that I can get away with or cannot get away with without putting myself towards that place where injuries are more likely to happen. And so like I mentioned, I really believe that there's five principles that we can look towards to manage getting our body prepped and ready for activities. And that's going to, again, include stuff at the gym, but as well as in life and real world tasks. So the way that I'm going to describe these is I'm going to kind of take you through them in order that I practice them. I do think there is a little bit of purpose for this order. I wouldn't do things out of order because for me, I designed this warm-up to kind of hit a few specific goals and they build on each other. So it'll make a little more sense as we kind of dive further into this. So the first thing that I'm going to do before I start my warm-up is principle number one, and this is to increase systemic blood flow. So there's a couple reasons why I want to do this. I'll kind of explain those as I go, but the first is let's just give you an example of what I'm talking about for activity. So this could be many things. A few ones that I tend to do often are jogging in place, maybe go for a jog around the block, around the gym or my home, jump roping, stationary bike. You could go on a short bike ride. It could be any other piece of cardio equipment. But the purpose is not for cardiovascular endurance or challenge. It's actually, that's something that we don't want to do for our warm-up. We want to keep it short and effective. And so again, our purpose for this is to increase systemic blood flow, which we also want to increase our body temperature, And that's going to also help our other goal of increasing our tissue extensibility, which is really just fancy words of saying that we want to kind of decrease that stiffness that we oftentimes get from being stationary or from just practicing repetitive positions in our day and in our life. And so this is a way to kind of start to break out of that. And again, this can be practiced in many different ways, but it is very important that we don't neglect this. This is one that I myself was really bad at doing for a long time. I was the classic kind of go to the gym, lay down on the bench press, do a few reps with the bar with no weight on it, and then just jump right into adding weight. And I'm actually surprised that I haven't had more injuries over the years with some of the poor practices that I had until I really understood these concepts. So, okay, now that we've done number one, where we've warmed up, we've done our jogging in place or jump roping or bike or short jog. As far as time frame goes, what I like to do for this is keep it about 2 minutes. That way I know that I'm being effective. These are two purposeful minutes of me moving, but it's not going to go so long to where I'm going to fatigue myself out and then be ineffective for my workout, depending on what that is. So now the second principle that I have found to be very valuable is to increase blood flow specifically and what I call like neuromuscular awareness or kinesthetic awareness. And what this is going to be done with is some dynamic movements. And so this is just simply moving in a more kind of functional way. And so there's a few examples that you can think of is like a exaggerated march where you bring your knee towards your chest and really try to work into some of those tight muscles, maybe in your butt or in your hips. And then you can bring your leg the opposite direction where you're trying to kick yourself in the butt with your heel or bring your knee and your heel back behind you. You could do one that you're going laterally, like the grapevine, or there's many other names for that exercise, but you're kind of crossing over and then behind and repeating that pattern as you move. And with all of these, there's many, many more. The purpose is now that we've already increased systemic blood flow, now we want to be more specific to each of our major joints. And the ones that I personally like to make sure I attack every single time that I'm working out, or really mostly every day, is that my hip joints, my shoulder joints, and really my kind of all my spinal joints. And so again, some specific examples other than the ones I just described could also be doing a kind of a deep lunge, or even a kind of a shallow lunge, trying to get more of the hip flexor muscles involved into being stretched. And there's many, many other examples of this. But again, our purpose of this now is to get the blood flow specifically in those muscles around the joints and get our brain and muscle connection to become more efficient. So then as we get into the workout, our body's prepped and ready. So now after we've done that, we're going to go to principle number three, which is now we're going to take our joints through their full ranges of motion, or what we have available for our own body's full range of motion. Now, this doesn't mean that you need to be able to do the full splits or be able to bring your leg up to your face or anything like that. Some people have incredible ranges of motion. Some of us are on the other end of the spectrum with very poor ranges of motion. And so we're not trying to set any records here or get yourself to do the splits for the first time ever. This is, again, taking you through what you have available. And then a lot of times what we find is once you get moving, you will find that you can get a little bit more out of it. But this should be comfortable. This should not be pushing through pain or anything like that. And so a few examples to think of for something like this, let's take the shoulders and the hips again, because those are kind of our main players in a lot of these movements. And for the shoulders, I like to do kind of like a shoulder pass through, essentially just grabbing onto a band or a stick or something and having both hands on that band or stick as wide as possible. And then you're going to bring this up and over your head and then behind your back, and then bringing it back and up and over and forward, and repeating this pattern a few times. Now, keep in mind that if you've experienced shoulder injuries or had surgeries in the past, this can be pretty difficult. And so some people will find that they cannot go through this full motion. Totally fine if that's you. What I have found for myself when I was in that spectrum of mobility is I just didn't use a band or a dowel and would just bring my arms up and over my head and behind and then forward and just practice that motion. And then eventually I was able to use kind of a lighter resistance band that would help to kind of guide me through it. And then over time I've been able to work up and use like a PVC pipe or a dowel or stick or something like that. But it's most important that we use our range of motion that we have, and we continue to, again, kind of prep our body for that workout rather than trying to make massive gains in new ranges of motion. That's not our purpose at all for this little series. So, and for the hips, an example could be something like a leg swing. So you can picture standing nice and tall with good posture, and you're going to shift all your weight onto one leg while the other leg is going to gently swing forward and back. And as you feel yourself loosen up, you can increase the height of that. But again, this should be gentle. Our goal is now just taking those joints through their full or available range of motion, and again, getting prepped and ready for the workout. So now we are on to principle number four. So now we've got the first three, we'll just review real quick. So again, we're increasing systemic blood flow with some sort of movement for a short period of time, about 2 minutes, jogging in place, something like that. Now we've done step two, which is increase specific blood flow and neuromuscular awareness to the muscles that are surrounding our joints. So this is going to be the stuff, or the muscles around the shoulder joints, the muscles around the hip joints, and beyond that. Number three is now we've taken our joints through their full ranges of motion, or full available ranges of motion, and starting to get them prepped and ready. Now number four is we're going to prepare our specific movement patterns. And again, the fancy terms of this, I would say, is neuromuscular awareness or kinesthetic awareness. Essentially, it's just knowing where your body's at in time and space and having the ability to affect movement upon our body in time and space. And so the goal with number four here is that we're now prepping our body for these patterns we're about to train for our workout. Or if this is done for a real life activity, this is something that I would do if I were going to go unload some heavy objects from the back of a truck or a car. I'm going to make sure that my body is prepped and ready, and then I'm going to practice the movement pattern of picking something up out of the back of the car, bracing myself, and then lowering it to the ground or the height that I need to. And so, you know, this seems so silly, but I can't tell you how many times that I've seen people injure themselves with such a quote unquote silly seeming task, that now with further questioning, we find out that they've never practiced that, or they only practice that when they have one of these random heavy tasks that come every few months. And so, you know, again, the more that we can practice these movement patterns and prepare our body and tissue to execute task at hand, we have a much less likely chance of an injury because our body is used to that. So maybe a squat is a good example too. And so if I were going to do a workout that involves squats, during my warm-up, now that I'm on step four, I'm going to go through the squat pattern with no weight on my body. Maybe I'll even put a resistance band around my knees, so I have to push against that, which is going to help me develop the proper muscle firing sequence into that movement pattern. And so we'll dive into that stuff deeper in a later episode about the specifics of squat mechanics and some of those kind of seemingly fancier ideas of how to execute those tasks. But ultimately, if you just think about it that way of We want to practice the position in a controlled environment with no load there. So then when we get into a place where we're going to be challenged during our workout or during life, and whether that's increased load, increased repetitions, breathing hard, having to, you know, let's say move those heavy objects out of the truck, but then you need to hustle them back to the backyard because you only have a few minutes to stay parked where you're at. Or, you know, there's so many examples in real life that we don't always train for or think about when we're doing our exercises or in the gym. And again, we can kind of design a lot around that. So we set ourselves up really to avoid injury. And I think that's a really, really valuable thing for a lot of people. So now that we've finished our movement pattern prepping, like I said, for the squat example, then I would say principle number five is really less about another step to do and really things to avoid. And so, you know, truly, I would say there's kind of four principles, and we already covered those, of what you need to do. So let me just roll through them real quick again, just as a review. So step one is we're increasing systemic blood flow, some sort of moving, jogging in place, something like that. Step two is increase blood flow and neuromuscular awareness to our specific muscles. So this is going to be some sort of dynamic movement series, high knee marches, butt kicks, moving the shoulders around, those types of things. The step three is now taking our joints through their full available range of motion. So again, the examples I used were a leg swing or a shoulder pass through, but again, using what we have available. And then step four is now prepping our movement pattern. So again, as the example I used, if I was going to do squats during my workout, then I want to prepare my body and go through some body weight squats before I get to something that I'm actually pushing against a load or having to do while I'm breathing hard. And so now five, which is again, the, like I said, the things that we want to avoid during the warm-up and why. And so I'll list the kind of the ideas, and then I'll come back through and say kind of my reasoning on why I choose to avoid these for my workouts. And so the first is static stretches. So this is holding a stretch for a long period of time. And the second is ballistic stretches. So this is kind of the opposite. This is doing quick end range, kind of aggressive stretching. The third is quick agility work. So you can think of like tire drills or agility ladder, maybe stuff you see for like the NFL combine, all the training that they do. Awesome exercises, but not good for warmups. Next one would be aggressive plyometrics. So this could be like box jumps or jumping or clap push-ups, anything where you're making that quick change of direction with that kind of explosive movement. And then the final one would be extended cardio. So this is, you know, your 30 minutes on the treadmill or longer, going for long runs, all that kind of stuff. All the things that I just listed are fantastic exercises, but not during your warm-up. So let me go back through them and kind of explain my reasoning why I choose not to do these for a warm-up. So static stretches, this is probably the one I think that confuses most people, including myself, is for the longest time, the way that I understood stretching was always good and we all should do more of it, period. And that's not wholly true in and of itself. There's lots of types of stretching, and depending on what our goal is, we want to utilize a different type of stretching and sometimes avoid specific types of stretching. And so for this warm-up series, we want to utilize dynamic stretching, which is taking a muscle through its range of motion and then easing off of that range of motion, versus, like I said, the ballistic stretching that we don't want to do is that we're taking it through that range of motion, but at a much quicker pace or velocity, and then we're kind of bouncing off of the end range of what we have, which we're not doing with our dynamic. We're going towards that range and backing off. We're not bouncing off the end. And I know those seem like subtle differences, but it really makes a big difference physiologically when we look at what's happening at the kind of the muscles and the connective tissue there. So with the static stretch, one of the things that we don't want or reasons we don't want to do that to begin with, is because that's going to actually, you know, for lack of better words, dumb down the stretch response of the muscle or kind of cause an inhibition. And so when we put a muscle over tension, when it's lengthened, we actually will inhibit the stretch response like I talked about. And so that's absolutely fantastic after an exercise or a program or after your workout, or with, if your goal is to increase muscle tissue length, that's what we want to optimize for. But again, before our workout, if we do our static stretching, those long, deep holds, then our muscles are not going to recoil or kind of respond as quickly as it would have if we hadn't done that. And that can actually set us up for an increased chance of injury. And so this is why I choose to avoid static stretches before my workout. So the ballistic stretches, I kind of mentioned that already, but again, it's that difference of bouncing off of your end range of motion versus bringing your body towards its end range and then coming off. One maybe visual for this one is the dynamic movement of a high leg hamstring stretch. So this could be, we call this oftentimes like a Frankenstein march or toy soldier. There's lots of good names for these ones. But you can think of it as standing nice and tall, bringing your leg up in front of you with your knee kind of locked out or fully straight, and then bringing your leg up until you feel a stretch in your hamstrings, gently bringing it down and alternating legs. And this is typically done with walking, but can be done in place as well. So the dynamic version would be, as I described it, bringing your leg up as soon as you feel a stretch, gently easing off and repeating. The ballistic version that we don't want to do during our warm-up would be same movement but increased speed, and then instead of bringing it towards the end range and backing off, you're going to aggressively bring it into the end range and bounce out of the end range, which is kind of the ballistic version, which is again one that I choose to avoid during my warm-up because our body hasn't been prepped completely yet to really absorb those forces. And so we want to save those till later during our exercise if that's what our exercise is for. So the next one was the quick agility work. And I would say this is a similar idea, slightly different. I choose to avoid these because my kind of neuromuscular kinesthetic awareness is still kind of getting there. You know, a lot of my workouts are done early morning. And so I want to make sure that my body's fully awake and aware before I try to throw something at it that's going to maybe cause me to roll my ankle or something. And, you know, again, this is stuff I enjoy doing after I've gone through the warm-up series while I'm in my workout. I think agility work is awesome. But if we haven't prepped our body, our joints, our muscle tissue, and kind of our awareness, we're really going to be in trouble if we try to jump into that too quick. The aggressive plyometrics, I would argue really the same idea for that. You know, it's any of these quick changes of directions where we oftentimes see injuries occur. And if we haven't gotten our body and really tissue specifically prepped and ready, there's an increased chance of that happening. And so, you know, these are our box jumps and our clap push-ups and all these great exercises that, again, I do on a regular basis, but I don't do them until I've already warmed up. So, and then the final one in my kind of lists of not to do during the warm-up would be extended cardio. I think cardio is great. I think, you know, how much you do of it can be, that can be somewhat controversial. And we'll definitely talk about that in a later date and kind of my opinion on it. But I think this is a fantastic approach to exercise, but not for a warm-up. And again, if I choose to do cardio exercise, that's going to be my exercise. I'm not going to do that and then try to go lift weights or do something afterwards. If we do that, we've already fatigued our body, we've fatigued our muscles, we've fatigued our neurological system. And now if we're challenging our body in a way that needs the stability or support or strength, and it's maybe something we're either new at or our body's just fatigued because the cardio we just did, again, there's an increased chance of injury because we're not taking the approach that's going to really optimize us to avoid that injury. So I would separate the days. If you're going to do an extended cardio workout, do that a different time than you're going to lift weights, or at least separate the sessions. And then when you're going to do something that's not that cardio workout, go through a good warm-up series. I would also say that for myself, when I'm going to do a cardio workout, I will absolutely go through the same list of things to get myself prepped and ready, because I really look at it the same. You know, if you've been sleeping all night long and then you go to wake up to go do a run in the morning, your body has been in one static position for many, many hours. This series is going to help to take it out of that, kind of unwind things that we've kind of put in as far as overuse, overdevelopment, anything like that, and also just kind of get us, again, prepped and ready for the specific task at hand. So I hope that you found that helpful. Again, this is kind of my approach to trying to avoid exercise and optimize my workout, and I found these five principles to be very, very helpful in a way to kind of cut down with all the clutter of information and really focus on a few specific things that I think can help us, mostly to avoid injuries and, again, optimize our workouts. Thanks for listening. To learn more insights to fitness, wellness, or lifestyle, or to sign up for my newsletter, go to thealmostathlete.com.